Your reading this morning is from the book of Zephaniah, Zephaniah chapter 3, beginning at verse 14 through the end of the book. Sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I will remove from you all who mourn over the loss of your appointed festivals, which is a burden and reproach for you. At that time, I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they have suffered shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
For the sake of our guests and those that have been away maybe and missed the first part of our Advent observation, we are going through a series of messages about images of Advent. In Scripture, there are these strong pictures of the coming Messiah. And we are looking at them each Sunday in turn, and we've also been inviting members of the congregation to create works of art or displays that help us to see them and maybe understand them from a different angle. We've looked at the righteous branch, we've looked at the horn of salvation, and now we're looking at the mighty warrior, as it is told to us in the prophecy of Zephaniah. I don't know how you've been experiencing this series of messages and looking at these various depictions. I've thought it's been quite lovely myself, and I've been enjoying that. This day, as we look at the mighty warrior, it's a much more dynamic image, isn't it? A righteous branch is a little bit static. And a horn of salvation, you know, we talked about what that means. What kind of a horn is it talking about? An animal horn? An announcing horn? Active, but not in the level of an active as a mighty, mighty warrior. I thought about it. It makes us think of Jesus as maybe the big brother who, when we were little kids on the playground, maybe in grade 1 or 2, and we had a big brother who was in grade 5 or 6, and when other kids started picking on us, that big brother would come and say, "You leave my brother alone," and would scare the other kids off, and I would be at peace. Makes us think of those kind of things. It's a good image. It's comforting, it's encouraging. Now, this image, as we find it in the book of Zephaniah, I am willing to make an assumption that few of us know very much about the book of Zephaniah. I am willing to say that almost none of us could say right now, this is the theme of the book and this is what it's about. Because it's one of those obscure books in an obscure part of the Bible that we don't turn to every day. Well, Zephaniah is not an easy little prophecy. Three chapters only, but it is dark. It is a stern letter. What we've read from and what Corey came and read to us this last little bit was the little bit of light that is in the book of Zephaniah, and it follows a whole lot of darkness. It's a letter that is written to the people of Judah, who two generations before had seen the enemies from the north come down on the 10 tribes of Israel, the rest of Israel, not them, and Assyria. They decimated the 10 tribes. They destroyed them. They scattered them. And even today, they are referred to as the lost tribes, because what Assyria did to the northern kingdom was so horrible that they ceased to be. Judah, the two tribes in the south, they remained. But even as they were reflecting on what had happened, and not long before, the enemies of the east were gathering. And Babylon was in the process of gathering its strength so that it could come, and it would, and it did, it would come, and it would conquer Judah. And those two tribes would be taken into captivity and have a time of travail. And it's to them in this in-between time, between the experience of what they saw from the Assyrians and the gathering dark that is the Babylonians, we find this little book of Zephaniah. And these people of Judah, who were in such a terrible, precarious position, were people who had brought this on themselves. They had been told, this is what the Lord expects of you. This is how you should worship. This is how you should live. These are the biblical godly values that should marshal your life. And you know what they did? They said no to every little bit of that. They said, we're not going to worship God. We're going to find other gods, cooler gods, sexier gods. And we're not going to live according to this standard of living that is revealed in the Ten Commandments and explained elsewhere in the Torah. No, we're going to do these things that lead to darkness, that lead to brokenness in ourselves. They broke the covenant. They forsook their God, and God is very, very upset. He is not at all happy with his people. Now, when we read from Zephaniah chapter 3, and we read about the mighty warrior, the Lord, your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. That's not the only time in Zephaniah that Zephaniah speaks of the mighty warrior. In chapter 1, remember chapter 3 is the last chapter, this is right at the end. Chapter 1, it also speaks of the mighty warrior. This is what it says. This is from verses 15 through 17. The great day of the Lord is near. Near and coming quickly. The cry on the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty warrior shouts his battle cry. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of trumpet and battle cry. Cry against the fortified cities and against the corner towers. I will bring such distress on all people that they will grope about like those who are blind because they have sinned against the Lord. This is a very different picture of a mighty warrior. This isn't the mighty warrior who comes to your defense, who protects you from the bullies and the bad guys. This is a picture of a mighty warrior who's coming at you. And it's fearsome. A couple days ago, I was, flicking through Netflix or something, or Facebook, and I saw a little snippet of the movie Troy. And this is not an advertisement, so I'll go and watch it. But the movie Troy is about Achilles, the mighty warrior. And Achilles was the greatest warrior in all of the Greek lands. And he could not be defeated. He was indeed a mighty warrior. And on this little scene that I just happened to cross, the enemy whole army is in front of him. And he challenges anybody in that army. You want to fight? Come on out. And one big guy, just a fearsome looking guy, comes out and Achilles dispatches him in a second. And the faces on all these other soldiers was such that they knew that they were confronted with a person with abilities, with a warrior mentality that none of them could ever match. The mighty warrior is a terrible person. His cry is terrible. When he shouts and he is coming at you, it's bitter in your ears. It turns your guts to water. Your heart quakes. And all who have sinned against the Lord experience the terrible day when the mighty warrior is coming towards them. Now, the people of Israel deserved the wrath of the mighty warrior. They had forsaken covenant. They had done all these things that were evil in the eyes of God. And we also deserve the wrath of the mighty warrior. May we stand here and we feel so smug in our self-righteousness. I mean, they go, oh yeah, we got it all together, and as long as we do the right thing, as long as we come to church and put some money in the budget, and as long as we don't do things that make us an abomination in society, we're going to be okay. But the Scripture says that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the word to us is true that the wages of sin is death. If the mighty warrior comes at us, he is justified in his anger, in his judgment, and in the pain that is afflicted. Now, in time, the people of Judah, they were defeated. They were, in time, dragged off to Babylon. They suffered the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. And it was just. It was absolutely right that they did. But that's not the end of the story. Some commentators said, you know, that ending of Zephaniah, you know, it's darkness, dark, 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 and then all of a sudden at the end there's this light. There's hope at the end. There's this mighty warrior who was the warrior who came at them, who was going to be the agent of destruction, the agent of judgment, and then suddenly at the end, he is the mighty warrior who saves. And they say, oh, you know what? Somebody must have just added that. That's just somebody stuck that on just to make it a little less dark. But I don't agree at all with that. Because that is the way life is for we who are in Christ. We acknowledge the fact that we are broken people. We know that we are in need of salvation. We know that standing on our own, exposed before God, that He becomes the mighty warrior who comes to us in judgment and righteous anger. But we also know the rest of the story. We know that that mighty warrior who comes so fearsomely is also the one who decided that he would attack all that which is afflicting and inflicting and infecting us and would fight that and take it away so that we can be the children of God. The people of Judah went to Babylon. They learned some very hard lessons. They reformed their lives. They turned back to God and they sought His salvation. And by the grace of God, they were given a happier ending to the story than was the case for the 10 tribes who never returned to God, who never made confession, who never pledged themselves to be true covenant partners of God. They did not experience the God who came and made things right. They did not see the mighty warrior who saves. Now, Advent is about waiting. And we are waiting for the mighty warrior to come and to conquer in us that which breaks us, that which haunts us, that which hurts us, that which alienates us from one another, and that alienates us indeed from God Himself. We wait for the mighty warrior who will bring us to the glorious day of the Lord and set us free. It is for freedom that the mighty warrior is on the move. It's for freedom that he bears his sword. These things that he has come to set us free from, the clues and the hints are in this very passage. He has come to set us free from oppression, from being pushed down by sin, by being pushed down by the effects of sin. He has come to set us free from homelessness. And it's not just the physical homelessness. I believe that people that are homeless, that the church is sent to them to give them home, to help them to find shelter. That's why I'm a great fan of the ministry of Indwell, for example, because what they are doing is helping people who are homeless find that shelter that is a blessing to them. But there is also the homelessness that is a spiritual homelessness. God came in Christ so that we who are lost could find our home in Him. We are to be set free from despair, from believing that there is no hope, there is no future, there are no options, to knowing that we have nothing but hope in Christ, and we have lots of options to be a blessing and to receive blessings. We are set free from despair. We are set free from shame. You know, there's a difference between shame and guilt. We are guilty of things that we do. We are shamed by what we are. We have done things that we should indeed feel guilty about and should make restitution for and make things right about. We have done those things, so we are guilty. But who we are at our essence, by the grace of God, by the work of the Spirit, is we are the children of God. We are the people that Christ came to redeem. And we who are in Christ should never feel shame, because who we are image bearers of God, loved and restored by His grace. So if you feel that you're a person that has no value, or you feel like what you have done makes you worthless, I say that is a lie. You probably have things that you need to confess. And there are things that you probably need to restore within your relationships and other things. But you are beloved of God. And therefore, the mighty warrior has done his work in your life. We have been given freedom. We are free, people. We have security. We are safe. We are at the side of that mighty warrior. That mighty warrior, now that we have received the gift of the Spirit and been transformed by the work of Christ, that mighty warrior now doesn't come riding at us to attack us. That mighty warrior is beside us and before us. We are on the side of the mighty warrior. And thanks be to God that we are people who have that kind of confidence. We don't have a sissy on our side. We don't have a weakling leading us. We have Him. We have the mighty warrior. Behold your God. Behold the source of your hope. So, where is the mighty warrior in your life? Do you feel Him to be truly leading you and guiding you? Are you on the side? Are you a partner? Are you part of the force that the mighty warrior is sweeping along to remove the shame and the despair and the oppression and the homelessness from this world and to bring hope? Or are you right now saying, well, I'm not really on the Lord's side. And I'm not working for this glorious vision of a renewed creation made evident first in the church and emanating from it. Well, if that's true, then the mighty warrior is riding right at you. And let it be that His sword cuts away all that arrogance and all that error in your life and sets you free to change sides, to join the cause of the mighty warrior in bringing blessing, advancing the kingdom of God. Because we who are on the Lord's side, we really are blessed. And it's over us that the mighty warrior sings. You remember in Zephaniah 1, that bit I read, it says that the mighty warrior shouts a battle cry and it's bitter. A terrible, terrible image. I don't know if you caught in what Corey read for us, that mighty warrior sings over his people. He sings over us. He blesses us. He makes us glad. He puts a song in our hearts that are the song that He Himself sings, so that we are in tune with the mighty warrior. We have such an opportunity to do great things in the world for the kingdom. Not because we're so smart or so rich or so kind or anything, but because we are being led by a mighty warrior who has the strength and the compassion, the wisdom and the grace to lead us in the way of victory. Join us, shall you? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being so strong. Thank you for being a mighty warrior in our lives and in this world. We ask that you would help us to get alongside of you. Sometimes, Lord, it seems like we waffle on this. We vacillate between being against you and being for you. We feel that brokenness, and Lord, may it be that your Spirit in us makes us be much more consistently on your side, so that the work that you have come to do, that the transformation you want to see in the world is indeed made evident and manifest to many, so that the blessing of your might is experienced more and more. Indeed, we know that when you return on that second advent, that your victory will be complete and everything dark and wrong will be indeed defeated. And that glory and light and justice remain. So we say, come, Lord Jesus, and be our mighty warrior. Amen.